Hi guys, welcome to a new episode of our podcast. We're gonna continue with the chakra series. So we had our first chakra it's already live now. You can go listen to that one. So that's the root chakra. And now we're gonna go into the second one, which is the sacral chakra or Svadhisthana, and talk about where that is located, what's the meaning behind it, how to know if it's unbalanced, what to do to balance it out, and how that can help kind of improve, I'd say, your energy flow, right? Because chakras are all about energy. So yeah, that's kind of our, I think, aim with this episode.
Yes, that's the one. Svadhisthana basically means where your being is established, because swa means self and adhisthana means established. So it's something along the lines of one's own place, if you will, or one's own abode. So they say this emphasizes the deep connection this chakra has with our sense of identity, particularly in the realms of emotions and desires. So it's located in the lower abdomen, at the level of just below the navel, to put it that way, and above the sexual organs. So that's pretty much the level at which this energy knot, this energy ball, is located. The mantra that we use to activate it is VAM, V-A-M. On a metaphorical level, in terms of imagery, it's represented by a lotus flower, as all chakras. This one has six petals. The color associated in imagery with this chakra is orange. And of course, we know orange is a hue that embodies enthusiasm and warmth. So yes, definitely two important things to remember about Svadhisthana: enthusiasm and warmth. So they say when we have just right amount of energy at the level of Svadhisthana chakra, we experience pleasure and creativity and healthy relationships. And when it's out of balance, of course, we may feel emotionally unstable, or we might experience creative blocks, or we might struggle with intimacy. Also very interesting, I find, Svadhisthana chakra is associated with the element of water. So just like water, this chakra governs fluidity and this feature we call adaptability, flexibility, right, in life, the flow of life. And physically, it influences the reproductive, the sexual organs, of course, the lower abdomen, the kidneys, the bladder, whatever's physically in that area, right? So its imbalance might result in lower back pain, for instance, and of course, reproductive issues eventually. But yeah, and when it's balanced, when you can say you have the just right amount of energy at that level, we feel vibrant and joyful, and we experience life fully and with pleasure. Our relationships thrive, and we can express ourselves creatively without fear or inhibition. And at the same time, when we don't have enough energy at Svadhisthana chakra level, we might experience feelings of guilt, of shame, even of emotional instability, because yeah, it is indeed, Svadhisthana chakra is the abode, the seat of our emotions. So its health, of course, directly impacts the way we handle emotional experiences. And instead of being able to process emotions like fear or anger or joy in a healthy manner, We might sometimes get overwhelmed. We allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by them. So, as I said, when unbalanced, we might experience feelings of sadness and anger or frustration that also seem to bubble up unexpectedly. Or maybe intense feelings of fear, such as fear of death, for instance. And it's, of course, it's all about the relationships as well, as a big, big symbol and as a big influencer of our relationships. This is Svadhisthana. And of course, we have the relationships with ourselves and then the relationships with others, the ones surrounding us. So when our Svadhisthana chakra is balanced, the relationship we have with ourselves and with others are healthy. So we are able to maintain, to create and to maintain deep and meaningful connections with other people. We are able to set boundaries and to express our needs, clearly, assertively, confidently, while again, an inability to connect with others, or even experiencing unhealthy attachments towards others might mean there's a slight or more serious imbalance at the level of Svadhisthana chakra. It's very interesting. I was taught during my schooling, during my yogic studies, that even if you think at culturally, if you think of some people, of very specific people, native to specific countries, some of them are said to be at a specific energy level. And there's a speculation that the English, as a people, they are at the level of the Svadhisthana chakra, because Svadhisthana chakra is also at the level, it's all about social conformity. Social conformity, conformismul social, we say in Romanian. So being kind as a social norm, trying to keep up appearances, saying just the right thing at the right moment, maintaining relationships, whether deep or superficial, but trying to be in accordance with social norms and not go overboard. So yeah, I found it very interesting as insight. Do you ever feel this is has any sort of truth within it, or how do you
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
maybe?
I'd say so. Likely, or it's just the culture in the UK. So then, if
Yeah.
it's to do with the sacral chakra level or just the culture in itself or a combination, but there's definitely I guess social conformity and just a sort of the English politeness, if you will, that I think is very maybe well known, especially if you come and live in UK for a while, you will definitely understand that very well, especially if you're coming, let's say, from a country like Romania. There's definitely a difference there, but even from like they're known, I would say, for their politeness just amongst even other European countries. I think they take the kind of cake on that one. So yeah, I would say, I didn't know about this like that. Yeah, English or the sacral chakra level. That's an interesting insight.
Yeah, from that point of view, I mean, from the social conformity point of view.
Right. Yeah. I don't know, but it's interesting to it might be. I think you were saying in our previous episode that there was like a high percentage of people that are at the sacral chakra level or not, like in general.
Yeah, and Muladhara as well. For sure, Romanians are at Muladhara level, just like many other people. Anyway, yeah, the thing is that we look at chakras, we evolve spiritually and We evolve our inner self, and we grow as human beings, the more we manage to balance, to distribute the energy towards the higher chakras. Because the point of practicing yoga and other yogic techniques, is to distribute, the energy levels in a wise manner. We need more energy in the higher chakras, and we don't need that much energy in the lower chakras. But in the lower chakras, you will find a lot of energy that's just lying there, unused. And we do not move it, transmute it, transform it to serve the higher chakras. That are, the higher they are, the more spiritual you are as a human being. So that's why it's our job to balance them out and not to keep excess energy where you don't need it anyway. At the same time, if you, your environment, or if you are in a country, or if you are in a life situation where your main interests are food, shelter, obviously this is Muladhara. You cannot possibly have a desire for growth or an occasion for growth or the space to grow higher. So until you do the work there and your environment changes, or you are the main actor in changing your environment, then you will be stuck at that level. So that's why we should aim for not letting excess energy in the lower chakras, but pushing it upwards through a variety of techniques. But there are also very good things about Svaristhana. One of them is creativity. It's another essential aspect that's governed by this chakra. And it's not just artistic endeavors, right? It's in all aspects of life, such as problem solving, innovation, being looking at a situation from different angles, bringing new ideas when it comes to solving problems, and so on and so forth. And of course, we feel when we have balanced energy in Svaristhana, we feel inspired, imaginative, capable of creating something that's unique or meaningful or impacting for humankind. So this can manifest in our work, in our hobbies, in the way we look at life, in the way we solve life's problems, in the way we approach everyday challenges, of course. So we also become more open to taking risks. And just trying new things. Muladhara says, "Yeah, I'm fine where I am." I don't know, in literature, or films, if you think of Frodo the Hobbit, right, from the Lord of the Rings trilogy, or his grandfather, Bilbo Baggins, or the way hobbits used to be depicted as a people, as a population, right? They're the ones. Bilbo has this huge challenge where he must leave his house. He hates that. Why would you leave your house? Your house is so warm and cozy. You have food. It's perfect. It's comfort. You just sit there and you read in peace. Not being disturbed by visitors or traveling or other such. Why would you? Right. That's Muladhara talking. While Svaristhana says, "Yeah, no. Let's explore the world. Let's travel and visit and be enthusiastic and eager about new things," right? So that's it's very interesting to see, to see things through the chakra lens, so to put it. So
Yeah,
yeah, because
and I think, or sorry, maybe you wanted to say something more about this, but I was going to say,
no.
and there are different techniques to balance it out, right? And I think there's different yoga poses. I don't know if there's or if yeah, there are other things outside of yoga that help balance it out. Because for instance, when we were talking about the root chakra, there's like everything that you can do with your legs, right? From running to hiking to dancing to whatever is going to be helping your root chakra,
Yeah.
plus like yoga poses that we discussed in our previous episode. So I know there's yoga poses for sacral chakra, and you can have like entire flows for it, right? And dedicated specifically to like every chakra. So yeah, maybe we can talk a bit about that. And then if you think there are other things outside yoga, I don't know. So I don't know on this one, but maybe there are. I don't know,
Well,
dancing maybe. I don't
yeah, visualizing, and there's a lot of things. I mean, whatever can bring you balance and peace if you focus that in that area. So you could, for instance, visualize a vibrant orange light glowing at the level of your lower abdomen, and that's already meditating on Svadhisthana chakra, no more, no less. So, as you breathe deeply, you can imagine this light expanding and filling your entire body with warmth, with creative energy. It might sound like a fad, but if it sets you in the right mood, it cannot be. It means it's what you need, right? So it's fine. This is how we meditate on the chakras via visualizations. And there are, of course, simple affirmations, which are different than mantras, right? Affirmations or positive affirmations that can help reprogram your mind, because we know about neuroplasticity, right? The more we tell the brain to do, it will do, it will understand, it will reshape its system of thinking. So, simple affirmations like I'm creative, or I deserve pleasure, or I'm open to experiencing joy in life, and other such things. It's really cool. As me personally, I find connecting with water, and I know you love water as well, and lakes and seas and the ocean. And so some of us are like that. And if we're not, it's still good to connect with water in nature every once in a while. Svadhisthana chakra is associated with the fluidity of water. And of course, spending time near water can be incredibly healing. No, just simply taking a longer bath, swimming in the ocean, or simply sitting by nearby a river, for instance, because that's it, it's then when we allow the fluidity and the cleansing nature of water to give some balance to our sacral chakra. But you mentioned yogasana, right? So we have a lot of poses that activate specifically that chakra. Cat cow, for instance, Marjoriasana, if we think of how the spine moves and of how the body moves in it, then it's maybe lizard pose. It might be butterfly pose, Baddha Konasana, right? Pigeon, even, there's that the heel that should be strategically placed in the area of the Svadhisthana chakra. So yeah, there can be many things, to many techniques and practices that help us balance Svadhisthana chakra.
I guess poses that use your pelvic area, right? So to speak,
That's
would
the
be,
idea,
yeah.
yeah. Yeah, exactly. And if you think of things that are still and then are not yoga, I know it might sound stupid, but it's there, right? That's how it is. It's belly dancing. But dancing in general, not because it moves your hips, of course, because it moves your hips and pelvis, but generally dancing is something that's very connected to Svadhisthana. Jazz music is very connected to Svadhisthana. Painting, cooking, being creative in the kitchen or on the, when you're an artist, this is something very Svadhisthana. So we should allow ourselves to create without judgment and simply let creativity juices ooze out and flow. So yeah, the process of creation in itself, I'd say, can balance the energy at this level in a proper manner. So just wanted to go back a second to a huge aspect of Svadhisthana. That's pleasure. Also physical pleasure and sensuality. Because this chakra governs our relationship that we have, the relationship that we have with our bodies. And our experience, our ability to experience pleasure without shame, or without guilt. So a healthy Svadhisthana chakra basically allows us to enjoy life's pleasures fully. without judging ourselves, without thinking, what would the world say if they see me like this? And this is very important. Of course, it's all about balance, right? This is what we seek. So an imbalance in this chakra might, of course, lead with issues at intimacy level, or sexual dysfunctions, or simply being disconnected from our bodies. Also, overindulgence in specific foods or drugs or alcohol, or addictive behaviors might also signify imbalances at Svaristana chakra level. So the point here would be if we are conscious and if we try to actually respect and honor our body's needs, and experiencing, you know, experiencing all of these needs in a healthy way. That's how I see it. Also very interesting, if you think of the excessive energy that we might have at Svaristana chakra level, it also this also leads to depression, because the energy lies there, you know, as if in a puddle. So it's not you don't use it for nothing. So you don't push it towards higher chakras, you don't dispose of it, you know, as you should. You don't allow your creative juices flow. You don't allow yourselves to enjoy the simple pleasures of life. So it's not, it's a serious sign of imbalance, I would say. That's how it goes.
Right, yeah, I didn't know about the depression side of things
Yeah.
related to, but I mean,
They say
yeah, could
so, yeah.
be, right.
It's interesting because depression makes me think of, you know, if we were to think of a very popular character that was very much on Svaristana chakra level, or whose character and way of existing in life was all about were all about Svaristana, you would say Marilyn Monroe as a character is at that level, they say. And I just remember that because we were talking about depression, because we know towards the end of her life she entered this depressive state, the depressive era of her life. So the Svaristana person has this need to stand out, to be appreciated, to be loved. They hate being alone, and they're always on the lookout for socializing opportunities. They're extrovert, and they disdain, they fear being dumped or being left alone on their own, and so on and so forth. So they might be also be unreliable at times if they have excess energy in the Svaristana chakra. Or emotionally unstable, yeah. And if we think about the glitz and glam and glow of Marilyn Monroe's life and the consequences of it, and this the aftermath, right? Yeah, she's pure Svaristana, I would say.
Yeah, I never thought about it like that, but it's an interesting perspective.
Yeah, I mean, we can speculate
Yeah.
incessantly, of course, but yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, so and also just I think from my experience, like I've done, you know, yoga for the different chakras and I know about them and so on, but yes, some of the things like actually thinking about people being at different chakra levels and how that works out, that's something kind of new right now for me to find out, which is good. It's just I have more knowledge.
Yoga takes care of balancing the body and mind. And that's why in a yoga class, we find asanas and techniques for, you know, that are holistic. So if you think of an asana class that's very physical, for sure, it's not a proper yoga class unless you really move as many body parts as possible, or at least as many parts of the spine as possible. Let's put it that way. And this is how you take care of all of the chakras eventually, right? Because you do a lot of twists and bends. You do a lot of forward bends. You do a lot of back bends. You do some side bends. You do standing poses. You do poses on your belly. You do poses on your back. You do arm balances. So it looks like that. The sequencing looks like that is specifically because we want to touch upon all of these energy knots, concentrations, levels, as many as possible.
So I think that's the second chakra, right? Unless anything else you want to add, Monica?
That was Svadhisthana from us today.
So thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode with our third chakra as we continue the series up to the seventh one. All right, thank you. Bye.
Bye.